Amen. Thank you, Gene. So we are beginning this look at this phrase, God hears your questions. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? It's an interesting comment. Perhaps as Christians we think, well, yeah, of course he does. It's an obvious thing to say. But then maybe actually there are times when we want to stop and say, really? If God is listening, then maybe sometimes we think we can't really be listening all that well, or just maybe he listens and ignores. And this is going to be our focus through this teaching series. And we approach this in the context of God's church. And we come to him to ask these questions that have been posed. And many of these questions were put in the box in the lobby earlier on in the year. And we've put them together in this leaflet. And some weeks will be the questions are more challenging than others. But our starting point today is to put all of that into the right context that we approach it in. And that's why we have our first question today, what difference will church make to my life? And those of you who come here week by week and are a regular part of the church, I'm not focusing on how much church traps us into rotas and keeps us busy and asks more and more and more of us. Has a habit of doing that at times, doesn't it? But that's not what our focus is. Hopefully by the end of this talk, you'll understand that more clearly. But I just do want to ask that we look at this together and commit to journeying with God through these questions together. And as we approach them each week, we come together as God's people, willing to learn more. We don't approach these questions presuming to know the answers to everything inside out, do we? And so we come willing to learn from each other, willing to help other people learn more about God's place in their lives, and what God's perspective might be on these topics that we're looking at. Different ones of us will be preaching at different times, and so our prayers need to be focused on that. And we seek God in all that we are doing here, and then we want to come with the openness to be ready to respond to God as well. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, short prayer on those things, and then we'll have a look at this question today, what difference will church make to my life? And so, Lord, we come to this point and acknowledge, Lord, that here we are as your people willing to learn more about you, not just for our own benefit, but, Lord, actually, perhaps more so for the benefit of those around us, those we engage with in our lives who don't know much about you, who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior just yet. And, Father, so we come and we bring ourselves to these questions. We're responding to the questions that people have asked. And so, Lord, help us to be responsible and careful as we do that. But, Lord, also we come so that when people ask us more questions about our faith, then we are ready with answers to give that lead people closer to you. So, God, be in all that we are seeking to do through these weeks ahead of us. And be with us today, Father, as we focus on this starting point, your church, that we are part of. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 in a bit. But before we get to there, just some thoughts to think about. You know, some people like to think they're funny, don't they? You know how this works? Some people think that they've got this special gift. Simon, you like to think you're funny. Is that right? Okay. Apparently so, yeah. Some people think they've got this special gift of humour. And maybe others around us might not agree, but they try their best, don't they? Just have a look at this shop door sign. It says on there, push. If that doesn't work, pull. If that doesn't work, we must be closed. Now, listen, that's only going to be funny, isn't it? If you didn't get out of bed the wrong side on the morning that you approached that door, and it's only going to be funny if the things the other side of that door aren't things that you desperately need right there and then. So what one person thinks is funny, maybe somebody else has a different perspective on. Now try this one. I like this one. One way. Good luck figuring out which one. You know, if you approach that sign in your car and you're having a good day and you're calm and relaxed and you're in a cheerful, happy mood, then maybe you're going to do what we've just done. You're going to just sit there in your car laughing and you'd look around trying to work out what's going on. Maybe, though, if you approach that sign after you've had a discussion in your car with a passenger about which way you should turn, should we go the way that SatNav was telling us in the first place, or should we go the way that feels right? You know, if you approach that in a different way, you're going to respond differently, aren't you? So this is part of what we need to think about here. We're not going to, sometimes the way we approach something is affects how we respond massively. So just pause here for a moment then. None of us wants to be messed around, do we? None of us wants to have our time wasted. None of us wants to be messed around by things that maybe look good on the outside, but actually when you get a bit closer and you dig a bit deeper, it turns out to be a complete waste of time. False, fake, rubbish stuff. None of us wants that. And if you're feeling lost and you don't know what you're to do next, you don't know which way to turn in your life next, if you're feeling lonely and helpless, well, what are we going to do in those moments? This is what I want us to think about. What are we going to do in those moments when we just have no idea what's going on in life? We just don't know which way to turn. Everything feels like it's a complete utter, an utter mess, and we need some help. Where are we going to go to find out the answers to our questions in those moments? I wonder how much you've come here this morning really believing that the church is somewhere that people can go, that we can go, to get help when we're seeking answers, when we're trying to work our way through a problem. How much is it really true that God's church is the place for us to go? How much is that true about this particular church? That we can come towards the church and find out the answers to the questions that we're getting, to feel welcome, to feel loved, to feel accepted and valued. How much is that true? You know, for me, the answer is a simple one, but then you'd expect me to say that, wouldn't you? Of course the church is the place where people can come and have God have that place in their lives. The thing is, you know, I can't avoid the fact, though, that so many people around us treat church as a bit of a joke, don't they? They see it as something to be laughed at, maybe. They see it as something that's irrelevant. They've been there before, done that, wasn't helpful before, it's not going to be helpful now, that kind of thought. Some people are seeing church as the place to be avoided, not the place to go to for help. And some churches do have a habit of bringing that upon themselves, don't they? You know, we at the moment are exploring different options for our notice board in the car park. It needs to be replaced because soon it's going to fall off of its metal posts because it's rotten. And if you put a poster in it, it lasts a couple of days, it gets wet, it's rubbish, isn't it? So we need a new notice board. Have a look at this as an option for a church notice board. Says there, our services are a bit dull and not many people turn up. We don't have a website as we don't really know how to make one. And there's not anyone available to speak to you at the moment because we're all quite busy, what with one thing and another. What a great church notice board that is. And then look at the bit at the bottom. We don't need someone to come in to help us with marketing our church as we're perfectly able to do it ourselves. Really? Let me reassure you, our church notice board will not be saying anything like that at all. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's saying the complete opposite, complete and utter opposite of the things that we're trying to focus on this morning as part of our big welcome, being a church that's welcoming and encouraging. It demonstrates the complete opposite of all of those things. But, you know, we can only chuckle at things like that, and those cartoons can only be drawn because actually some churches, this is what they portray. Is this really what difference God's church should be making to our lives? Here's another cartoon perception of church. It tells us what church is about. You may not be able to read all of that writing, but it tells us what church is all about. It's like being rewarded for turning up regularly enough. You get a loyalty card and reward tokens, and you can cash them in for special prizes, like a sermon preached in the privacy of your own home. Imagine that, me popping around sometime in the week, randomly, knocking on your door saying, well done, you've been coming to church, your loyalty card is up to date, I'm coming to preach you a special sermon. Or maybe church, it feels a bit like, well, you know, we should get special stickers for doing a good job and behaving well during the week and turning up and dressing right, wearing a hat if that's what you do, and that's fine, and or whatever else it is. Is that what we've done to church? Is that what people looking in think church is all about? It's only for good people. It's only for people who are behaving a certain way. You know, if that's what we've done to church, I'm not surprised people stay away. That's not what God's perspective on church is. So what is this perspective that we want to have then? Is there another way that we can help people understand the difference that church can make to their lives? And of course the answer is yes. If it was no, I'd be sitting down right now, and maybe some of you would be pleased about that, but I'm going to carry on. You know, what is it that drives us as church to say that we want to give you our welcome? What is it that we're offering to people? Well, we have an example to follow in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 is what I'm going to read in a moment. We have this example here of God's big idea of church. And this is an example of how the early church works that out, the example they set to those around them. And this is our church verse for the year. So this is something we've been focusing on already throughout the year, but we're coming back to it again today. And follow, if you've got it in your own Bibles, then follow it. The words will come up on the screen as well. And this is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is an important passage for us to think about, an important part of the Bible for us to think about. You know, so much of the answer to this question that we're exploring today, what difference does church make to my life? So much of the answer of that is here. This is the early church explaining to us what God's big idea of church ought to really be looking like. And God's plan and his intention for the church to be a place where we can discover what the word community really means. And this place of church that helps us so much that we just can't help but want to be part of it, because we can see the amazing transformation for good that church can make in our lives. And all of those things, as we live them and we're inspired by them and built up and encouraged by them, helps us to then want to make church an integral part of our life, not a part-time optional thing, but absolutely central to everything that we're about. So these are things we're going to be thinking about. So what do I mean when I say discover church as community? What do I mean by that? Well, it'll help if I just quickly set what Acts chapter 2, these verses, is saying. It'll help if I just set them in context for a moment. If we go back a few pages in our Bibles, probably a couple of pages into Acts, we'll find out there that Jesus has just commissioned his followers to be church. And he's doing that after his resurrection and after his death and resurrection, and just before he goes back to heaven. So this is a massively important time. This is so important. It's a transition point in the ongoing story of God interacting with his people. That story that begins at creation and goes on until the end of all time. And here we have Jesus speaking to his people, setting God's word into place in this hugely important transition point in their lives. He comes into this strategic moment and Jesus says all that he wants for his church to be. People living together. People that Jesus was addressing at that time, they would have been feeling lost and bewildered, not really knowing kind of what's going on, as Jesus is going to be leaving them again soon. And before he leaves them, he says this. His words were something like, "Be my church and do it like this." And that's what we see happening in Acts 2, 42 to 47. So by the time we get to that point, we're with a group of people there who have done several things. They've listened to Jesus. That's important, isn't it? That first point, the listening. They've listened to Jesus. And then they have done something important with what they've heard. They've taken the words of Jesus and applied them to their feelings in that moment of being lost and bewildered. And as they've done that, they've discovered this incredible way of being community as church together. I don't want to explain what that means by starting right in the middle of the passage, because I think that for me is where we see it most obviously. We're told in verse 44 that all the believers were together. And then in verse 45 we discover just how complete that sense of togetherness was, as they gave to anyone who was in need. Those are two massively important things, aren't they? And I wonder whether perhaps actually those are pretty alien concepts to a lot of people around us. We might live in geographical areas that we describe as our local community, but that tends to often end up being the extent of our thinking, doesn't it? We describe our community, it's just that place that we happen to be. And we need to think beyond that. We need to think beyond that because that's not what the Bible is describing. God's people being together and having everything in common is so much more than just drawing a geographical boundary and saying, oh, I live in that community. This is a way of living in community that pushes way beyond all of those other limitations that we might want to put in place. And instead it moves us fully into a place of relationship. You can't just say that you live in community the way that God understands it just because you happen to be living in the same street as a bunch of other people. If you stop there, you're missing the point completely. It only happens, this sense of God's community only happens when we build up relationships of trust and love and care, that they're built up and they're maintained, they're lived out. And that's exactly what Jesus had in mind when he said to his followers that they were to be church in his name. He meant that they were to be people who would share life with each other, who learned how to love each other and care for each other. And I don't just mean every now and then or when someone was in need or in crisis or whatever, but all of the time. They were to share each other's burdens, help each other out. Church was to be the place that others could come close to and know a genuine welcome, not just on a special occasion that we happen to label as our big welcome Sunday. But that keeps going. It happens all of the time. It's the norm, not the exception. So how do we then approach, with all of those thoughts, how do we then approach this question, what difference will church make to my life? You know, those are the things that start helping to fill out the answer, aren't they? But how does it look? How does it look for you? You know, we've asked people to put questions in the box in the lobby that we are then responding to over these coming weeks. Given people the opportunity to write down what their question would be to God. If we are claiming that God hears our questions, then what are our questions we want to ask? That's what we were doing earlier on in the year, wasn't it? And you know, one of those questions that has been put in that box was from a person who says how they felt lonely and set aside, even though they try to be part of things. They feel lonely and set aside. Another card was a prayer for those, again, who feel lonely and unloved. But I've just described a place of community that God planned for his church to be, and none of that makes any space at all, for people to feel lonely and unloved and set aside. That is not what God intends for his community of church to look like in the slightest. So why would that happen? Well, it seems to me that it happens when we lose the depth of relationship with each other that we have described here in Acts. When we lose that depth of relationship for those around us, then we're not living out this fullness of community that God wants us to be. This sense of togetherness here was so complete that we're told in Acts that the people had everything in common. That means they shared life experiences. Rather than just being isolated away in the ghettos of their own homes or wherever they were, the suggestion is that they lived out thoroughly and consistently these relationships of trust. Relationships where it was okay to let your vulnerabilities and weaknesses and mistakes show to others around you, because you just knew that at the end of it, people would still love you. And it's in that kind of community that there's a place for embrace, but there's never a place for loneliness and isolation. And what difference will church make to my life? Well, God's answer is that his intention for church is it's to be a community where the lonely find comfort, where the marginalized find their place, and where the desperate find their hope. They're important things. We're going to keep reflecting on those words as we go along. But for any of that to happen, you know, it needs to be shaped around something, doesn't it? There needs to be something that kind of drives it, that shapes it, that fills that out. You can get a sense of community through a hobby, from your sports club, or so I'm told, not that I'd know that, but, you know, from living out your life in a particular place with a particular group of people, you can do that. But when we bring those thoughts into church, then the thing that we're focusing on is something that's transformational. When we get church as community right, then we'll be able to experience church as something that's transformational, because it's built around the purpose that we're going to reflect on now. When we think, though, about what we shape our lives around, it's very easy, it seems to me, to say, oh, yeah, I shape my life around Jesus. I shape my life around the Bible. It's very easy to do that, isn't it? We can say that very quickly. It's instinctive, because we know that's the right answer. But just let's be honest for a moment. What do we shape our lives around? What are the things that most significantly shape our thinking, shape our decisions, drive our responses each day to the things that happen around us. You know, if we had time this morning and I asked you all to shout out what those different things are, then we would have a vast range of responses in this room, no doubt. For some, perhaps the focus right now is going to be actually on health issues. Some of those things might be our own, others might be concerns for other people. The things that shape our lives, the things that grab our attention the most, maybe it's health issues. For other people, perhaps we would be thinking about our work. And maybe we would do that because either because it's just started and we're getting into a new job, or it's just ended, or work's being sought, or because it gets us down and we'd like a different job. And what about family? Maybe it's family that shapes everything for us at the moment. Maybe that's because we've got more additions to our family on the way, like Shane and Michelle have. Maybe it's about our families growing up. Now, is it about our families flourishing, or is it about our families struggling? Maybe even it's about our families being ripped apart by something. And now that adds thoughts of different life stages as well, doesn't it? Maybe that's about the vigour and vitality of life that makes us feel so alive. Or maybe it's about us looking on at other people who we can see are like that, wishing that we maybe still were. But perhaps we know that that time in our lives has passed, and so our reflections are more about our advancing years. The thing is, wherever we place ourselves in all of that, just come back a step to verses 42 to 43 here that I read. Because it's there that we see the things that this community shaped their lives around. And it's there that we'll be able to realise as well that it wasn't just for them, but this is for us as well. This is for everybody. You see, it's this description here of these people being devoted that grabs our attention right at the beginning. They devoted themselves. They're attention-grabbing words. You'll be devoted to something if you can see the positive difference it's going to make to your life. And if you like what you see so much that there's nothing is going to get in the way of you ever letting go of it. That's what this sense of devotion is all about. And that devotion begins here in Acts chapter 2, and it carries on all the way through the New Testament as well. This is about a response to Jesus here. The response to Jesus is the one people have discovered as their hope in every situation. Lives have been so transformed by meeting with Jesus, that there is nothing that is going to get in the way of that. Jesus embracing people in relationship with him. And that sense of devotion comes in response to that we have here. And so we read, first of all, that devotion is about learning. I've already said that, haven't I? That we're learning together as we go through this teaching series. You know, this example of this church was one of people who came together to learn. They came together to learn more and more. We're told that they were being taught by the apostles. They were men who had been with Jesus, who'd learnt from him firsthand, and so their teaching could be relied on. They could be relied on for teaching truth. They took every opportunity as Christians to learn together, so that their lives would be shaped around nothing other than Jesus. And the next thing we read about is this word fellowship. That's talking about spending time together and letting every bit of life rub against each other so that we can be in relationship fully together. It's not about keeping at a distance or just being terribly polite over coffee on a Sunday morning. And we do that, don't we? But it goes so much deeper than that. It wasn't being done just to be polite at particular moments or on special occasions, because that's what we've been taught to do as we've grown up. But this was an intentional and consistent way of fellowship. It shaped life by spending time in each other's company and learning and sharing the values and hopes that have all been learned from Jesus in the first place. And so then we carry on reading about how that was demonstrated. We read on a bit further where it says about how unity of the church was being expressed in their worship together. And all of that, again, totally focused and shaped on Jesus. He's that consistent thread through all of this, isn't he? Jesus is there through all of it. Now, God's plan for church is for it to be a place of community where the transformation of life is expected and it's experienced. It's not something that you just kind of like think, oh, that would be nice, but it's the expected norm that in this community of church, shaped around the values and the experience of Jesus, that lives are transformed. So what difference will church make to my life? We keep coming back to this question. Well, God's answer is that his intention for church is to be a community where through relationship with Jesus, shaped around Jesus, the lonely find comfort, the marginalized find their place, and the desperate find hope. So can we do this just a little bit? Can we switch it on and off whenever we feel like it? Can we decide to step into this transformational community life with God through Jesus one moment, and then actually something else over here gets our attention, so we put it down and ignore it for a bit, do something else, and then come back to that when we can be bothered? Well, I suppose we could. But listen again to how verse 42 starts. It starts with the words, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. That means being there consistently and continually, doesn't it? Doesn't mean turning church on and off just when it suits us. But it means it thoroughly being integrated into every part of our lives. You know, this amazing experience of knowing Jesus and living out life with him, living out the welcome and the embrace that he gives and he encourages his church to give, wasn't something that people did part-time. It was integral to everything, and it needs to be for us as well. We need to live church as an integral part of our lives. Just as we think about that, look at verse 46 with me for a moment. I want to just shrink verse 46 down a little bit to say this. Every day they had glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. That wasn't a now and then kind of thing. It wasn't a like, oh yeah, I'll opt into that this week, but I won't for the next couple of weeks or whatever. It wasn't seasonal. It wasn't conditional on good behaviour or attendance levels like we saw in that cartoon. There was no sense of something looking okay on the outside but letting you down as you moved in closer. This was so integral to life and so completely unhindered and unstoppable. And what made the difference? How can the early church be described like this when we know actually that the reality of life is rarely that simple for very long? Well, that's what the amazing thing is here for me. You see, what we have discovered here is that people have got to grips completely with this idea of God's community. They've shaped everything around Jesus, and everything in their lives is about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Nothing is getting in the way of that. It's the absolute core. It's the central focus of their lives, day by day, moment by moment. You know, I heard a minister describe his church recently as a place that's full of people for whom church is just another important social occasion for many who attend week by week. Hear that again. He described his church as just another important social occasion for many of those who attend week by week. Do you know, I want to cry when I hear church described like that, because it's ripping Jesus right out of the core, isn't it? He's ripping Jesus right out of that opportunity to be a place that gives us a transforming focus in life, and it puts something else in the middle. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, obviously we meet up and it's important that we meet up, and perhaps, you know, we look at our diaries and we think, oh, we've got this thing going on Sunday. It's called church. Great. We're going to meet up with our friends and we'll share fellowship together. That's all important. Don't miss that. But please don't live in a way that we see church as just another thing that we happen to do to fill some time at the end of the week or beginning of the week, whichever way you look at the Sunday. But listen, we need to live church as being integral to everything. This is that's the only way that we're going to be able to fully know the answer to the question that we've got on our minds for today. What difference will church make to my life? Well, God's answer is that his intention for church is to be a community where the lonely find comfort in Jesus. Just pause and think about that. A place where the lonely find comfort in Jesus. Part-time? Just now and then? No, all of the time. A place where the lonely can find comfort in Jesus. But, you know, if we're not careful, we can easily make church to be a lonely place because it feels like somehow everybody else fits in, or we've just suddenly walked into a place where everybody gets it, everybody understands, everybody knows what all the songs of the words mean, everybody is fully embracing and engaging with what the preacher's going on about, but I don't understand it, perhaps, is what some people are saying. You know, we're good, I think, sometimes of making people feel like that. That's not part of the big welcome, is it? Don't be fooled by a facade that might look like that. None of us here, none of us knows everything, and that's why over these coming weeks we're exploring these questions together, isn't it? Just think about our big welcome this way as well. It mustn't just be for today. It's not just for today, but it needs to flow through everything we are and we do so that we're being the best for God that we can possibly be. A place where people feel welcomed and loved and included whenever they come, whenever we go to them, wherever they are. Whether that's for the first time they walk through the door of church or they've been coming here forever. What difference will church make to my life? Here's the next thing. God's answer is that his intention for church is for it to be a community where the marginalized find their true worth and place with Jesus. And we're surrounded by a world and a society that separates people out. It's natural. It happens. It just is the norm, perhaps. We separate people out. We distinguish between people, perhaps readily, who are rich or poor. We distinguish between those who are working and unemployed. We see situations around us where people are set in different groups because of race or colour of their skin. There's the powerful, there's the weak, there's the glamorous, you know, the good-looking, and then there's the unattractive. You know, these are all divisions that leave some people feeling really good about themselves and about life, and others feeling completely marginalized, completely pushed aside, unimportant, put down. Read again, though, Acts 2:42-47. The early church included everyone. It gave to anyone as they had need. You know, as the church grows up, through the New Testament. If we carry on reading from Acts onwards, as the church grows up through the New Testament, we'll see here examples in our Bibles where they didn't get that right all of the time. But they were trying their best. They were doing their best to follow the teaching of Jesus. That God's intention for church is for it to be a place of embrace that brings people out of the margins of life and into a place where they can know their true worth, their significance, their value, in Christ, their Lord and Saviour. And here's the last thing again then, what difference will church make to my life? Well, God's answer is that his intention for church is for it to be a community where the desperate find hope in Jesus. And Jean prayed about the youth alcohol issue in the country earlier on. The desperate finding their hope in something else. But here we're saying that God's answer is for the desperate to find their hope in Jesus through his church. You know, false hope comes wrapped up in so many lies, most of which come hand in hand with those things that separate people that I just touched on just now. But lasting hope, that's a different thing. Lasting hope will never come through wealth or status or power, the way we look or the things that we can do. But God shows us that lasting hope is here in Jesus for all people. And to make sure that we could know that, to make sure that we could see an example and an experience of that being lived out fully, here we have Jesus doing this incredible thing, saying to his people, be my church, my living example of lives transformed by the power of my love and grace. That's what Jesus commissioned his church to be and to do, isn't it? That's the difference that church can make to our lives and lives of people around us. We're not a perfect church here. Please don't think that we are. But I know, there are going to be times when as a church, we perhaps are doing things less well than Jesus would have us be. But this is our starting point at Bromsgrove Baptist Church. This is our starting point. We are striving to be a church that's offering the transforming love of Jesus Christ in the realities of life to everybody. We're striving to do that with absolute integrity as we acknowledge that, you know, we too, every one of us lives in those realities of life that those words mentioned. We too live in the midst of the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, the easy times, the harder times, the joys, the sorrows, the struggles. We all live in the midst of that. And in all those things, as God's church, we're doing our best to try to respond in the ways that Jesus would respond. So I want to end with our last question. We've been thinking about the difference that church can make to our lives, and I want to end with this other question. Will you join us in that? Will you be part of that? Will you accept our big welcome as this community of God's people, as this church, and so discover that transforming love of Jesus for yourself? Well, our prayer is that everybody will feel able to say yes to that, isn't it? So as we end then, as I pray in a moment, then let's hold on to these things that God intends for us to be showing people through his church. A place of love and acceptance, a place of absolute integrity of heart and mind in all that we do and all that we say. A community of God's people that's about bringing a transformation into lives, because it's here in this place and through us, through God's people, that we can show the lonely and the marginalized and the desperate that they have their questions answered in Jesus. So let's pray as we think about that. Lord, please will you help us to get a hold of this really, really completely, Lord. Help us to remember that what it means to be a community is that we're in this together. Father, we describe ourselves as living in covenant partnership with each other. Father, I long to see us all embracing that completely. And I pray, Father, that through your Spirit's power, you will enable us to be able to be getting that right and in ways that people can get a hold of. And Father, we've been talking here about our experience as church as being transformational. And Lord, we want that transformation to be focused on Jesus, a transformation for good, not a transformation in a negative way or a grumbly kind of way where, you know, church isn't satisfying us or whatever it is. But Lord, in a completely transformational way where we are given our hope, that we are filled with our hope in Christ day by day. And Lord, then it's those things that will come together to have church be absolutely integral to all that we are and all that we can be for you and in relationship with you, Lord. So Lord, we hear this as being your plan for a place of community where we can discover love and comfort and value as a person and hope for all time. So Lord, help us just pause here for a moment to reflect on that. Perhaps if the musicians could come and get ready to lead us, please. And we're going to sing a song in a moment that says to you, Lord, into your hands I commit again. Maybe actually we'll be singing this for the first time and we'll be saying, Lord, into your hands I want to commit my life for the first time, or I want to commit my life to your church in this particular way, fully and completely. And I want to do that now, Lord. Well, as we sing, then, Father, help us to be able to do that. We're just going to pause while the musicians are getting ready. Just pause quietly, please, and reflect on the things that you've heard God say to you today. And then the musicians will begin to play quietly, and we'll join in with them when they prompt us to.